Hi, good evening. Let's open unto the Word of God in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. I'm very happy to be here. And no matter who is here or who is not, I plan to preach God's Word. We'll start our message at verse number 6 and we'll work down to verse number 13. I'll be as fast as I can, but still give glory unto God's Word. Paul says that now these things, brethren, I have in a parable, I have figuratively transferred unto myself these things about Paul and Apollos and Cephas being highly honored unduly, and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another.
Wato aya shi da yace ko yan kwana ga zance wanda abubuwan nan nan misali ta muku gare da nake su ne ga kaina da kuma wato Apollos saboda ku don ku yi koyi da mu cewa kada kowa ya zance abin da yake a rubuce, kada kuma wani ku yayi fahariya da wani akan wani.
Just a couple things in this verse and I will move on.
Wato yana so ya dan fasara kafin ya ci gaba daga wannan ayan.
But Paul is telling us that he used himself and Apollos as an example of preacher worship.
Wato shi manzon Bulus da kuma shi Apollos sun ce sun mika sun suna kwadan shi ga rayuwarsu ga bin fishara Ubangiji.
It's a very common problem in Africa, but it's not unique unto Nigeria. It's in the history of the world.
Wato abu ne wanda ya mamaye kaman kasar Africa ba wai kasar Nigeria kadai bane, amma har ga duniya.
He's saying that he used himself and Apollos to take the edge off of the rebuke of using other people's names who sought to be a big somebody.
Wato yana yace da shi da Apollos da shi kansa wato Bulus yana amfani da kansa ne domin ya nuna kwatanci yadda wayansu ba za su dauka kansu su gan sun fi kowa a rayuwar nan ba.
Because if you ever see people following a pastor with undue worship, undue praise,
zamu ga yadda wayansu suke bin malamai wanda suke musu koyarwa kamar su ne ubangijinsu.
He always has a hand in it unless he does everything he can to stamp it out.
Wato yana da hannu a cikin ko abin da yake wato yana da izini ya hana ko kuma a yi.
It is one of the most evil things in the church today.
Wato mumuna abu ne a
iglesia yau. Undue worship of men.
Wato gabautar mutum mumuna abu ne.
It's quite an abomination.
Wato bai da amfani.
Very hateful unto God who saves.
Wato bai so haka.
We are servants of the Most High who are here to help you know God in the gospel.
Mu bayin Ubangiji ne dole na kwatanta muku domin ku san yadda ya kamata ku bauta wa Allah cikin gaskiya da kuma ruhu.
That you may learn in us or using us as an example not to think beyond what is written.
Wato don ku yi nazari ga rayuwarmu ne ba wai don ku bauta mana ba. A'a, amma mu zama wato dalili ne gare ku ko kuma ku koyi wani abu a gamu.
That's the key of understanding spiritual things. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel.
It's
the whole worship of God is according to Bible.
Duka komai yana cikin littafin mai tsarki ne. Zamu gani sharadi da kuma tarihinmu akan littafin mai tsarki ne.
People think I don't like to sing or dance, but I do. But I'm a man of the Bible because I'm a preacher, and when you see me there concentrating, it's because I'm praying to bring you the Word of God. If you see me afterwards, I'm more relaxed, but this thing is more important than life itself. And I plead with you preachers to get back to the Bible and preach it word for word. Nothing else. Not what you think, not what you feel, not what somebody else says, but as it is written. And if we truly stick to what is written, that none of you may be puffed up, proud, big ego, big macho man, up on behalf of one against another. If I'm from America, so I'm proud. That's an abomination. I love my country very dearly. It is a great country. But your souls are as important as my souls. And as important as the blood of anyone in my country. You understand what I'm saying? If we rightly regard this word, this book, this word of God, me and you will treat each other as brethren and as equals in Christ. And we'll esteem one another, and we'll esteem our teachers helping us to know God. Not by dream or vision. Not by magic. What have you learned from Babel, Babel, Babel? Have you learned anything from Babel? Nothing. We need the Word of God with an understanding. You need the Bible in your head and in your heart. A deliverance is not foaming around on the ground like a fool. It's not it. A deliverance is when you know the Word of God inside your heart. You know Christ Jesus, and your soul is set free. The doctrine of the Bible. That's the only thing that saves a sinner. Doctrine, teaching, Bible. Truth, 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 not gibberish. When they spoke in tongues in Bible times, Paul said, let there be an interpreter or what? Be quiet. Bible! 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 When that man comes to you for the preaching of the word, make sure he's preaching Bible and you can see it with your own eyes. Or else he's deceiving you. And he is a false prophet. What are you going to do about it? You're going to stand? You're going to compromise? You're going to be fake? Or you're going to be real? If you come to me with Bible, I bow unto the word of God. You come to me with anything else, I will confound you. You understand me carefully, very clearly, very serious. Life and death issue of our immortal souls, but even more important than our souls, the worship of God. Let nothing but Bible be preached here forever and ever, or close the building down. Have you understood me thus far? Am I being crystal clear to you? Am I preaching the word of God? For verse number 7, who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive from God? The only reason I'm American, I'm a Christian, and I'm a preacher of the Word of God is because of God. Or your soul could be in my body, and my soul, it could be in your body. It makes no difference who makes plans on earth. God has already decided.
Wato mai shuki shine Ubangiji, ranki da ran nawa da jikina da jikinki da duka yadda Ubangiji na kallon mu kamar ɗaya ne.
The only reason I'm saved is because of God.
Ina samu ceto domin Ubangiji ne.
How about you?
Kai fa.
Now, if you did indeed receive it, if it's a gift from God, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And that's one thing about the Bible, Brother Dogo, as we teach and preach the Word of God, it is always giving the glory unto God's grace. It's always saying that God did everything and we did no thing. It's always saying that salvation is the gift of God. And we would have perished if he did not choose
us.
Is that not right? Didn't God choose you from before He made this world? Didn't God call you with power you could not
resist?
Didn't God convince you of sin to make you see that you were a sinner? And why did God speak to you instead of somebody else? That was all God's doing. Our health, our strength, our life, our eternity has been decided by God already. And the fact that me and you have obtained the inheritance is mercy. He could have passed you and me by. But when he was passing by on his way into Jericho, he caused us to be like blind Bartimaeus, the son of uncleanness. That's what his name means. He calls us to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when the crowd was telling us to shut up and be quiet, when our conscience was confused and filled with sin, he's
the reason you kept crying out.
What you say? Preach
to many people. He is the only reason that you're here. There was absolutely nothing of man.
Much less the preacher, it wasn't even of you. So why do you boast as if you had not received? But the reason of their boasting is in verse number 8. And I want you to listen to me, please. You are already full, Paul says, and he's being sarcastic. He's calling out their error of their proud thinking. You are already rich. And you think that can't happen up in the north? Oh, yes, it can. A northern Christian can be the proudest person in the world because he's a Christian in these hostile circumstances.
But he doesn't know that 99% of his Christianity is only culture. You were raised like this to cover yourself. That don't make you Christian. You were raised to come to church on Sunday. That don't make you Christian. And the fact that you ladies have left Islam. If I'm a woman, I'm leaving Islam too. I'm running.
But my
that don't make you a child of God at all. No. You are a Christian because God caught you red-handed in your sin and had mercy on you. That's why. You didn't have nothing.
And despises
the message of sovereign mercy. You know your own soul by relationship to the mercy of God. Do you love it or do you hate it?
It's not because I do Christian activities. It's not because I read the Bible instead of the Quran. It's because of God. And every soul that truly knows it inside their heart is humble. And the more I learn it, my brother, is the more humble and lowly I get. Not the bigger. That's my pride. That's what happened unto me as a young man. I had my pride and I had my Christian doctrine. But in my pride, I thought I could do this thing as a Christian. Have you learned already, are you older saints, how helpless you are to obey God? Has it made you increasingly humble to see yourselves increasingly wicked on the inside? Are you increasingly learning it's nothing but the obtaining of mercy all the time? Then you'd be very gentle unto these ladies as you bring them up.
What the
You'll speak to them with humility about God. In all your counsel, it will be Jesus Christ, because that's in whom is God's mercy.
Am I right or wrong? Am I telling the truth or a lie? Is this what's happening here? Is this a place of God's mercy being? That'll keep me and you humble. Paul says sarcastically that you have reigned as kings without us, your big shots. After I came and taught you the gospel, you outgrew me, the Apostle Paul, in about 15 minutes.
What?
So you think. You got so smart, he says, you outgrew the Bible. And indeed, I could wish that you really did reign, that we also might reign with you. I wish that you were as big as you thought you are. And I'm not just preaching unto you, sir. Every word of my sermons
is for myself.
And I learned the lessons I ought to have learned a long time ago, but I know them now, and I'm telling you them faithfully. Now in this last portion, and we'll speed through according unto the glory of God, Paul is telling us what the true ministry looks like. I saw a man this morning who seems to think that the ministry is commanding and declaring and decreeing and being a big papa and ending up in Lagos or Abuja as somebody to be worshipped for his great power.
What I have a word number two. Yana Puta, Yana Nuna Chiwa, Na Puta and Zuzakuzama, because Yana Nuna equals Sakamashine, is our one as a cousin Chiwa.
And he's trampling over God's words, our brother Dogo, because he doesn't even care what it says. He only cares what he can make it say.
He's a liar and a deceiver,
and if he doesn't repent, he's going to hell.
And they are all over Nigeria. Everywhere in the south and creeping here into the north. You had better go back to the old religion of the missionaries and the Bible, because it cannot be improved on. This is what it means to have spiritual power. This is what it means to be an apostle. And everybody claiming that they are an apostle, I don't see even one of them claim this. So look at what Paul says, and you can think and you can reason for yourself. Verse number 9. For I think that God has displayed us the apostles. He wants to make sure you know exactly who he's talking about last.
Don't galina Allah ya riga ya bayyana mu manzanin kuma bayan duka ne kamar wadanda mutuwa yake ja a kansu domin mu zama abun nuni ga duniya da malaiku da kuma mutane.
What does it mean to be last? In this text, it means to be first in suffering, first in affliction, first in being hated for the glory of God. That's an apostle.
And he's
it is so hard to preach with a translator. I always get started and then I have to stop. But Paul is saying that he's so zealous for the glory of God that it cost him everything he had, and he's going to keep going. He's not puffed up.
He's not proud. He's not living a fancy life. He's not living in big house with fancy cars.
Have you heard people tell you that if you are a Christian with enough faith, you'll have big house and fancy car and big shiny Bible and big pulpit of glass and everyone will praise you and say, ah, oh, what a preacher.
He says, no. God has set forth the apostles, the absolute greatest human beings on earth with the most faith on the planet. He has set them forth last. Last! Are you in your text, my sister? I'm in verse number 9. As men condemned to death, no protection from assault by the devil. In fact, he brings them, the devil, to trouble them enough to increase the spiritual power of their ministry. Paul said that we had the sentence of death. I thought I was going to die, he said, that I might trust in God who raises the dead after I'm totally emptied of all self-confidence. You still want to be a Christian? You still want to follow him wholeheartedly? You still want to be a preacher? For we have been made a spectacle unto the world. How much can they suffer for this Lord Jesus? Let's go kill them. Let's go persecute them. Let's go saw them in half. Let's go torment them. This is true Christianity. Not big house and fancy car. Non-stop going with the gospel, sister, until I die. You understand? Paul is saying this is an example of what true Christianity is. How much can they suffer until the glory of God? That's my example. That's what keeps me and you going. Paul died and he did not stop until his head was off his body. That's true Christian. That's what we're looking for. I'm not looking for money, my sister. I want to be like Paul. I want to be faithful. I want to give my life for God's glory. How about you?
Oh, my
soul. I think we're missing it. I think we're looking in the wrong place. I think we think that being Christian means I won't get sick, and if I get sick, I get to pray to God and I'll be healed. Because He loves me, He might cripple me tomorrow and make me an example of a man who perseveres in a hospital bed.
Do you understand?
I promise you nothing in the flesh. Not one more dime in your coffer.
God may empty your church and leave you by yourself. I've seen it happen. But the man stays faithful. He's got God for real. Now, he's an example of suffering unto the glory of the blessed God. We don't want a show. We don't want fake religion. We don't want money, politics, and power. Christ Jesus for somebody else, even if it kills me.
That's an apostle. A spectacle unto the world, both to angels and to men. Paul says this, verse 10, we are fools, looked at as utter fools. You still preaching that Bible? They think I'm crazy.
I could get so much money so easily in America. They think I'm a fool for coming here. Why would I do that? Because your soul is worth more than a Mercedes Benz.
The Apostle Paul, he saw no miracles. He did not charge anybody for a healing. He took no seed money for nothing.
Paul said, I want you to give. So poor saints, I'm going to carry it over there. I'm going to give it all to them. I'm not taking anything for myself. The only thing I want from you, Paul says, is you to help me with enough money I can go preach over to them. I don't want a house. I don't want a car. Paul said, I want to serve the glory of God. I'm an apostle.
What happened to us? What has happened? And it's here in the north. I didn't think I'd see it. It's everywhere. That's not the apostle. I wish people would read their Bible. It's in your Bible, young man. It's not in the words of man. It's in your Bible. That's where the truth is. Here's a real apostle. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise. We are weak. Weak.
Yes.
But you're strong. You think you're strong. You are big shots now. You're not Muslims anymore. You're big shots now. But Paul said that we real preachers of the gospel, these apostles, are dishonored. Oh, they didn't ride around in
a golden chariot like the Pope. And they endured so much suffering to help us keep going.
You hearing?
your soul can be the happiest soul on the planet right here. It just takes God through Jesus Christ and the desire to follow Him. You have enough persecution to make your life thrilling. Not enough suffering. That's why they argue about everything under the sun and complain if they break a fingernail. If there's a homosexual on television, oh, the world is ending. Cowards! Living for themselves, fat and empty. But the thinking is so proud. They look down on you.
When they should be sending help.
They should be sending even more missionaries and more financial support. But you know what they actually say? It's all those poor people. But in their actions, I don't care.
Yes.
And these are the Christians in America that you look up to, and they ought to be looking up to you or your perseverance in hostile situations. Let's get down to verse 13, but let's start at verse 11, and let's go quickly. Here's what a true apostle is. To the present hour, this is Paul the apostle, and he had more faith than anybody else. The next time a word of faith preacher comes and starts telling you to decree and declare, Paul said, unto this present hour I'm writing you, we both hunger and thirst, are poorly clothed, beaten. And look what Paul says. He doesn't even have a house to sleep in.
Mm. You see it?
At the house, at the camp, it's some women who just sleep outside. They put down a mat and they lay there in the open air, no protection from mosquitoes. And Paul said, I did that on a regular basis just to preach the gospel to somebody else. I had to keep going. Mm. I had a house here. Mm. I could have stayed with somebody, but somebody's soul was over there. Right. And even if it meant me sleeping on the ground uncovered, I'm an apostle, and I got to get going for somebody else.
That's my hero. That's some rich fat preacher lying to people.
How do preachers get rich off you? Paul said, I'd do anything to preach to you. I'd even work with my own hands all day in the field. If a man is not willing to work and preach, he's not a preacher. Not a preacher. Not a preacher. And make sure that you repeat that. If a man is not willing to work and preach, he's never been called by God. I worked a job for 15 years, built my whole life around my ministry, and it was mostly carnality in the flesh. I've only grown into the gospel in these last 5 years. But you think the people not paying me means I'm going to stop preaching? I haven't asked you for a dime, Mom. And I've preached to you like you're the Queen of England. Because I want to follow the apostles' footsteps. Because he's following Christ Jesus. Not these other preachers who are sideshows who only use people, use you to serve themselves.
The African big man is an ugly fool. Yes? I'm telling the truth. Was that a of
that's
amen yes. Or was that a
That's yes. When they say me, that's
okay.
Yes.
Verse number 12. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for your soul. I'm going to fight for a hearing. I'm going to fight for this gospel to get into you. Paul says in verse number 12, and he's talking about apostles now. And we labor working with our own hands. He said in Acts chapter 20, in order to give. Paul worked so hard, so well, and so wisely. He would work with his own hands, often making tents. And then when he had enough money for himself to eat something, he would reach into his pocket. And he helped his brother and didn't have as much. And then he go preach at night.
Where are the men of God, Pastor?
Where are the preachers? Where are the men like Paul? Where are those who follow his example and lead you to God? Where are they? Where are they here in the north? Why won't they send pastors unto these churches? We got a lot of work unto do in Nigeria. Fifteen pastors in a false church because all of them want money and they won't go suffer for the people of God. And you know what? There is not anything in it for themselves. But if they ever did it, they'd know there's so much in serving God's people. Even God himself. Have you ever been there where the communion and fellowship of God meant everything, even heaven and hell, made known unto you by the gospel in fellowship with the one who saves and damns sinners, and he's in communion with your poor and worthless soul? Has that ever come unto you as higher than anything else that can happen on this planet? Paul didn't get money. But he got God's fellowship and communion every day of his life. And even when he failed on the mission, Christ stood with him. But you live for yourself, you're on your own. And that's a fact that's certain. Here's what Paul says. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. I need to change my own attitude. Being slandered, we entreat.
ko danan ne ko wani abu muna jira ga ubangiji ne kawai.
He's showing that kindness and love proves an apostle.
Wato soyayya da kauna yana nuna wato yanayin ruhu mai tsarki a cikin mu.
I came here my first day. It was a hard day. It was my hardest day in Nigeria because my soul could not keep looking unto Christ. And it was just last week. I didn't get tormented. I wasn't homeless that day. And I've been homeless in Nigeria, but I just took my eyes off Christ.
Wato kamar farko ranar da ya zo Nigeria, bai taɓa samun mummuna kamar irin ranar ba. Ga komai ya faru da shi, wato wani ya shiga wani matsala ne, an ka toshe mashi wannan kuɗi tasa ta kuɗinsa ta ƙasansu. Ba yadda zai yi ba kuɗi ba ya rasa abin da yake mai daɗi, amma sai ya cire fuskarsa ta wajen kuɗi da kuma mutum sai ya duba Yesu, sai salama ya zo mashi.
And I saw my own brothers standing with calmness and patience, and it forgives.
Sai gani dan wasa wato yana da hakuri da jimrewa yadda ubangiji ya umarce.
Because an apostle, a man of God who is a true God sent preacher, when people persecute him, he blesses them from his heart through Jesus Christ.
Wato kamar yadda kuka gani in mutane suna tsananta ka sai a cikin zuciyarka da kauna sai ka albarkace su.
And when they slander his name, and I need to learn this, he tries to make peace
with me. Wow.
What an example of supernatural power. So when you look for an example to put in your pulpit, look for this. Look for a man who you can mistreat and he's still kind unto you unto the glory of the blessing.
Wato idan zaka duba yanayin wannan rayuwa wanda yake da kauna da kuma yadda yake jimrewa domin ka koya ne wannan domin kai ma ka samu wannan haskan a cikin rayuwarka.
That's a real man of God, brother.
Wato shine mutumin Ubangiji.
He hasn't stopped preaching truth. He hasn't compromised truth. He hasn't shortchanged truth.
Bai canja don wani ko matsala ko wata masifa bai dakata ko komai ya ci gaba da aikin ubangijinsa.
Please listen unto me up here.
Mu saurara daga nan.
Hi.
Wato gaisuwa su kinna ta tawa ne ke hi.
An apostle.
Wato
is a man who suffers very well.
Wato pastor yana wahala ba kan ba.
Is that the kind of Christianity that we are preaching here? Then the people would have already known it before I even spoke about it. And empty looks are not a good thing. Because people who have heard and know the glory of God look into these things and say, wow, I need to be more like Christ Jesus.
Wanda suke da nazari sun duba wannan abin sun ga suka ce kai ya kamata in duba ga Yesu ni ma in zama irin wa'annan.
And here's my last thing, verse number 13.
Now na karshen kenan.
It's the essence of the whole thing.
Wato shine karshen magana zamu yi.
We have been made as the filth of the world, as the scraped off piece of filth of all things until now.
Yace in an ci mutuncin mu mukam ba da hakuri mun zama wato har a yanzu ma mu ne kamar wato jejin duniya jujin duniya abin kyama kuma.
And you want to be a Christian?
Muna so mu zama Kirista.
Yes. And you want to be a preacher?
Muna so mu zama mai bishara.
Yes.
Sai mu zama juji.
The apostle Paul is saying that
Bulus yana cewa
after I get back into Abuja there is something on my feet that my sister said it has to be scraped off.
Wato kafin ya koma Abuja wai wacce nan da muke tafiya tare da ta, sai kuka ji Abuja za a ji a tun kankare abu.
I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And to me, it's rather disgusting. But if you take all those scrapings of 100,000 people and you make them a mound of filth and of nothingness. Paul is saying that's how we the apostles have been made unto this world. They don't envy our big cars. If we don't have one. They don't envy our easy life. I'm in front of the king, but I'm in a chain. They don't envy our doctrine sister because it gives all glory unto God all the time and says you have to act this way. So my brother Dogo, it provokes hatred. And just as you see people leave with their bodies, people leave with their minds a long time
ago.
Because this gospel has nothing for your flesh. No praise and honor, Mom. All the glories unto Jesus Christ. No bragging about how strong I am. It's all the Holy Spirit. No living to fulfill my own dreams. I don't have any. But to be like the apostles. How about you? Are you true Christians like Paul? Are you living for the glory of God? Then you're
going
to be hated by this world. And preaching is not to get yourself a big ministry, to finally have a car, to have a big house, to have a big following, and walk around town and people say, preaching. If we're going to be like Paul, it's to give your whole life unto the glory of God, no matter what happens, no matter what you suffer, and no matter the cost for the words that come out of your mouth, because they are Bible. And who dares speak against God? Nobody. Let's pray. Our Father,
yes.
As we pray unto you, please forgive the errors of your servant and give these people Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.